magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019.
Oh, yeah, big sigh.
What was it? I think it's Chris Fabry sometimes on Friday as the Friday sigh or something.
Oh,
so everyone oxates their bloodstream and breathes in and you know gets ready for the weekend.
Oxygenate.
I think that's the word coined or something. But
yeah, well, we're just getting started with the week.
Yeah, that's right. And yesterday there was so much to cover.
Oh, goodness.
In fact, we did the interview prior to Pastor Lyndon Allen Sharon, and so I only had to do a little intro. But it was a full 31 minutes. So those of you that were waiting for SRN News or were late into work, it had to go over to capture all that he had shared and said. But we didn't get to recap Glorious Resurrection Sunday, or maybe those of you that attended Friday, Good Friday services. And we had extra time, the Burns family, just being home and doing burning and leaves and raking and cutting the grass. And but it was fun as a family, all three of us. Many of the children had Friday off and Monday off, so got additional time just to get caught up on things. So that was
get
really
the yard
nice.
All fixed up.
Somewhat, but it's one of these ever...
It just goes on, doesn't it?
Never ending.
Nature does that.
Oh, and yesterday, for our Memorization Monday, it was 2 Timothy 3:16. So in review, all Scripture, and it was fun having Pastor Lyndon Allen talk about all Scripture, both old and new, and we talked about that, not the Old Testament being obsolete or unnecessary or being replaced by the new. Now we just follow the new. All Scripture, both old and new. And actually, when this was penned in 2 Timothy, they were referring to the Old Testament,
the Hebrew Scriptures. And that word old really came about, I think, in the time of King James when they did that first translation into English. That's where they started calling the Hebrew Scriptures the Old Testament instead of the New. Yeah.
So all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And then I think the next one, when I memorized this years ago, so that the man of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I think that's 2 Timothy 3:17.
Is that coming up, or do you just know that?
No, that one I just know.
Oh, that's
great. I don't think it's even on this list.
Oh, it should
be. My list of 100 verses. In fact, if you sign up online, we'll send you all 100 verses. It's on, it's on three pages. Oh, no, four pages. Anyway, so we'll send you that. Just stop by greatnewsradio.org and you'll see the book cover, 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. And then there's a link to sign up for that and we'll send you some updates. In fact, I'm in the process of taking the 10, we've done 10 verses now, all 10 interviews, I'll have links. So you'll have each of the people and you can hear it or rehear it.
Oh, that's great.
And so that'll be sent out maybe even today.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, okay. And then, I want you to share one fun story. And I don't know if you'll get a chance to post these pictures, but you had a little, your children, your daughter had an Easter egg hunt, and I think it's a hoot. And I don't know if anyone else has ever seen this happen or it's happened to them, but take us through that again.
Okay, I will try and get you that picture. My youngest daughter's sister-in-law hosted a big kind of event for family and friends and so forth, and they had a lot of eggs hidden. And so the adults were all sitting out on the patio watching and so forth.
And these are all like in the grass in the
yard. Yeah, it's a beautiful yard. You know, there's hosta. Yeah. And yes, there sat a squirrel who had found the Easter egg and was holding it. And apparently squirrels made off with a fair number of the Easter eggs. They were seen in trees holding the Easter eggs.
Like a purple Easter egg or a pink one in a squirrel's hands actually elevated. Uh-huh. They literally did take them.
Yeah, took it to their nest, holding it, turning it over, looking at it. Never seen anything like that.
Classic picture. So, I was a part of two different Easter egg hunts. We had one with the children's choir here.
Right, that was a great
last
video.
Thursday. There's a little video on my Facebook page. But, you know, it was the first time, and I think there was about 13 or 15 different Asian students, and it might have been, for some of them, is the first time they ever experienced Easter egg hunt. And so at Lincoln Square here, we put them all around the food court, you know, up and down the steps and different under tables and all around. And so there's a video of all the children when the choir rehearsal finished. They all raced out the door, and you see them looking all around. We had baskets for everyone. And we had parents, I think we had 5 or 6 parents earlier that day, last Thursday, assembling all the eggs and the candy and the chocolates. And Dee brought some with monies in them.
Oh.
So I think a number of...
I needed to be in on that,
change.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Dee, how many of those eggs do you have left? I'll take them from you.
Let's have an adult Easter egg. Money in the eggs.
So that was a lot of fun. And then on Sunday at the Madison Avenue Free Methodist Church, after the Easter breakfast and before the 10:30 service.
Before the Easter brunch, before the Easter dinner.
That's right. So all the children were all over. I think they had over 500 eggs all around, and they had all these children running out. And, you know, it was such a gorgeous day on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
And yesterday was another great day.
Yeah,
it's nice. The weather's cooperating. So
I love it. I love Easter. I love all the family and friends and everything.
Well, family, friends, and food will be coming together this Sunday, April 28th.
Oh.
Our friend Pat, she has something going on.
Yeah, over at Simply Pat's Hats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Spring Fling. Okay, Pat Milchuk, owner of Simply Pat's Hats, will be having a Spring Fling at the State Street Mall in Paxton, Illinois, this Sunday, April 28th, from noon to 4.
So that's at the State Street Mall in Paxton.
Mm-hmm. Door prizes, hors d'oeuvres, music. She'll have a wide selection of spring hats. That's fun.
Yeah.
And someone will be the lucky winner of a derby hat. I'm assuming that's like Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, and I think she's known for making these. They're all custom made, and they're like 200, 300, 400, 500. This derby hat, it's a collectible.
I better go.
Yeah. You have to be present at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Well, now, where's the State Street Mall located?
I'm just State Route 45 North. Am I reading that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 201 East State Street in Paxton.
So it's got to be somewhere around downtown.
Yeah.
State Street Mall located in Paxton.
And it says for more information, call Pat at 217-781-0800.
That's 217-781-0800. It's this Sunday, April 28th, noon to 4 p.m. Our good friend, Pat, who's also listed in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times.
Yeah.
In fact, she didn't advertise for a number of months because she said, I got so much business the last time. I don't want any more ads in your paper.
Hey, everybody, listen to that.
Yeah, but she wanted
results.
To do. Yeah, results in the Prime Life Time. But this was a special event, and she wanted to encourage the Great News Radio listeners to come out.
She had her hats in our window display there for a while. I loved that.
Yeah.
Really fascinating. So,
well, with it being Tuesday, it's Memories of an African Sun Tuesday with our very own Marianne Simpkins, and we're going to be looking at Chapter 51, titled Cardboard Homes.
Yeah. Cardboard Homes. On certain streets of Accra, Ghana, a number of people were living in cardboard boxes. Huge boxes, like the ones that refrigerators or even larger items come in. Sometimes the boxes were cut and joined together, like makeshift rooms. Accra was a port city, and I suppose many large items were shipped in and out in those enormous boxes, and some had made their way to the streets, where they lined the pavement as homes. It was a tragedy to see little children wandering in and out of a box that had clearly been rained on, a sad shelter for a precious little life. In the many years since I walked those streets, Ghana has worked hard to alleviate poverty and to bring down its rate of indigence, though it certainly still exists. Ghana is not alone as far as countries trying to contain a growing poverty and hunger issue. Throughout much of Africa, as in the rest of the world, there's an ever-increasing divide between the rich and the poor, a growing chasm that must be narrowed, or there will be excruciating repercussions around the globe. As the debate continues on how to best fight poverty, whether through social responsibility like programs and governments or personal responsibility such as the giving of our own resources, I continue to think that both seem helpful. But I do think that it's sometimes easy to look to programs and forget personal responsibility. In the decrees of Moses, the year-long tithe of the third and sixth years went to the poor. It seems a really good use of the tithe, and it makes me happy to know that God ordained it. It has never computed well in my mind that some people are living in extraordinary wealth, while others, including children, are being evicted from the only roof over their heads, and thousands of children's arms are thinner than a wire from starvation and malnourishment. It takes a frightening convolution of the mind to make this in any way okay. It appears God does not find it acceptable either. I have found a most interesting scripture in the Bible. Quote, "One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." Proverbs 19:17. Lends to God? Why does it say lend to God and not gives to God? In the original language, it indeed does say lend, and it appears to be the only time such a phrase is used in terms of our giving. It seems to me, at least, that this is of such utmost importance to God that all gifts to the poor will indeed be repaid somehow by God's decree, not because we may or may not want to be repaid, but because He considers helping the poor so important that it turns into a loan to Him. God's original law also said that at harvest time, people were never to go back and pick up all the many leftovers from the crops. All the grapes on the ground, all the grain, were left for those who needed it.
And the book of Ruth talks about that story.
Yeah, sure does. I believe that these original laws for behavior that God set down show us how He would have us think and act toward anyone in poverty, that He would have us offer them many ways to receive help. The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews tells us, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Hebrews 10:16. How does it look to have the law regarding the poor written on our hearts, making sure they have food, that their debts are forgiven, and that we don't demand harsh payment of loans, that we don't lend with interest? I think the way it looks is probably something life-changing, world-changing. I believe this was and is God's extraordinary blueprint on how to live and help people, and it's a brand new mindset. I do know that when it rains, cardboard boxes are not a good protection from the elements, and children get sick, and things get ruined. Cardboard houses are not safe. I wouldn't want to ever live in one, and neither would you. No one would. No one should have to. Father, write Your beneficial law upon my heart. You have always had our good in mind. You have it in mind now. Let me shower that good upon everyone in need, from a heart filled with freedom and fear from all grasping. And Father, if I or anyone I love is ever in poverty, please help us and free us from it completely and save us. Help us indeed to do unto others as we would want things done regarding us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I think of a couple things. In fact, this next chapter, chapter 52, race, also kind of goes alongside with this, valuing individuals. We all have equal worth.
Yeah.
But I think of See You at Home, and they have that one winter night where people stay in a cardboard box
and kind of
experience that. But this verse, this Proverbs 19:17, bears repeating. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his good deeds.
Yeah.
And the "He" is capitalized, referring to God will repay the individual for the good deeds, the deeds of helping the poor.
It's
wow, it's a phenomenal concept, I think, that God has penned it for us to understand.
It is.
Race also fits with this concept that we all are a part of the human race, right. All given dignity, made in the image of God, nobody greater or lesser because of a skin color,
yeah.
Or in this chapter, having possessions or not having possessions.
Right. Well, there's some old saying, can't remember what culture or where or who said it, but it used to be famous, you can't put down someone else without putting down yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It just works that way. Okay, 52, race. Having weathered my way through the unprovoked attack on my nationality at my school in Ghana, I was still unprepared for what I encountered in America upon our return for a furlough a rather short time back in the United States. Every 3 or 4 years, we were to come home to America to see our family, which was wonderful, and also so my father could speak to groups before our return to Africa. I was so glad to be back in America, yet found that I felt a stranger to it. I vividly recall my third day in the high school I had been enrolled in as a freshman only a few days earlier. I had just turned 12, but they put me in the high school because that's the level I tested at, which I guess said something for our mission school,
mm-hmm.
as well as my school in Ghana. I would be at this high school for 3 months. I felt completely lost. On that third day at high school, a large group of African-American students were gathered on the wide steps between the first and second floor, most of them leaning over the step railings or even the second floor railings. A large group of white students were gathered in the expansive hallway below them, many of them lined up by the walls. The two groups were yelling at each other, with racist slurs and angry words being hurled loudly from one side to the other. I remember standing alone, looking back and forth between them, having no idea what I was to do or where I was to go. Not only did I not know anyone, I also did not know what new horror I was looking at.
And being just recently 12, I mean, you were like 11, just 12.
Yeah.
Wow.
It had never occurred to me that America, my own country, was in such a state. I felt terrorized. I left. No one was noticing me anyway, or seemed to particularly care that I was there. I went to the cafeteria and pulled out one of the brown trays on the rack, put food on it, and sat down alone. I wanted desperately to go home. Where had I ended up? This was unrecognizable to me. What sort of a place was this? Thoughts whirled through my mind, having nowhere to land. One thing is for certain. Race is surely not the only factor that people find to draw the lines of hatred over. A simple look at history proves this over and over. People of various races have often banded together, whether to form a cohesive political party or a side in a conflict, or for economic reasons to hate some other group. And groups of the same race have often nearly eradicated each other over strong differences, boundary lines, ethnicity, or the economics and nationalism of countries. Even a fleeting look at the history of Europe underscores this, with its various wars that laid waste to entire countries. And the wars of the Middle East, and the wars of Africa, long before the colonists ever arrived. People seem easily capable of dividing themselves along any number of lines. The sooner we understand this and stop making things just a racial problem, the sooner we'll begin to find solutions. Because it's not just a racial problem. It's a very tragic problem of the human race. Hatred and the subjugation and eradication of people for any reason, race or otherwise, is a disease.
Yep, it's a sin problem.
Yeah. But back to the subject of racial hatred, that despicable and vile form that human hatred can take. I learned an important lesson in Africa, in Zimbabwe, long ago. It was the words of my father, and he repeated it when we were back in America. He looked me straight in the eye, as only he could, and said, in a voice that carried so much presence, so much integrity, never, ever put anyone down because of their race. Ever. Everyone is equal. Do you understand me? I nodded and began to turn away, but the look in his eye made me turn back. And never, ever allow anyone to put you down because of your race. Ever. Everyone is equal. Do you understand me? I nodded again slowly. I think of those words of his quite often. Very often, in fact. They have never left me. I've tried my best to live by them. I wish I knew how to make the entire world live by them. I may be sadly simplistic, but those words seem to encapsulate the subject for me. Don't put anyone down. Don't let anyone put you down. In other words, we've come right back to that same phrase that sounds truly simplistic in the face of the horrors humans have wrought on each other, but remains as true and profound as when Jesus first said it. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Luke 6:31. Father, I have no need to recount to you the tragedies people have wrought on one another from their hatreds, including their racial hatreds. You already know. You saw it. You see it. So I pray for help. I pray for an outpouring of your Spirit that created us all and ask for your help. No, plead for your help. Please pour out upon us your help, your peace.
Another great couple chapters, and I love that concept that there's just one human race, period.
Yeah.
We're all equal. We're created in God's image. I think it was Raleigh Washington or Jeffrey Johnson, one of the Promise Keeper speakers years ago. He's an African-American brother, but he said, "You, my white brothers, are just brothers of the lighter hue."
Lighter
it's
hue.
Kind of, you know, we all have the same DNA traced back to Adam.
Yeah, that scripture.
God created us. We're all just variety of colors.
Yeah.
And God loves variety.
Yes, he does. As scripture, where is it that Paul wrote? He said, from one blood, from one man, God made all the human race.
Amen. So a couple of great words spoken to us today about race, recognizing that we're all in it together and we're all equal. And then whether some of us have more wealth or less wealth, let's use it to God's kingdom purposes and for his glory to help others.
Well, Mark, that's really profound what you just said. We are all in it together, whether we want to be or not.
Yeah.
We all live on this one planet right here.
Yep, yep. Memories of an African Son, available here at the Great News Radio Center, also on Amazon and other great book providers, bookstores, and other places in the area. Mary Ann Simkins, S-I-M-K-I-N-S. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.